I wonder how many of us in that Roman prison would have said, pray for me that God will set me free. Paul does not pray for freedom from confinement. He is content wherever God has placed him.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
At this point in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20, Paul has said two basic things. One, we have an adversary, verses 10 to 12. And he says, two, we have an armor. And that armor is triumphantly adequate to give us all the resources that we need to withstand the influence of the evil one. But finally, he says, I want you to see the animation of the spiritual warrior. And he gives that to us in verses 18 to 20, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And as you're praying for all saints, he says, and for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul changes the theme for just a moment, and he talks about that which animates. We've seen what equips the Christian warrior. Now he talks about that which animates him. That which animates and gives vitality to the Christian warrior is his intimate communion with God in prayer. I wonder how efficient and active we are in this facet of our Christian life. Paul says that which animates us is the breath of God conveyed to us in this intimate communion that we call prayer. And there are many things that we could say about prayer from these three verses, but as I look at them, there are two basic ideas that I want to share with you under this theme of the animation of the spiritual warrior. Number one, I see here a special characterization of prayer. That's verse 18. And then number two, I see a specific invitation for prayer. That's verses 19 and 20. Paul says, more specifically, I want you to pray for me. And there are a couple of points that are of interest there. Number one, he speaks of a special characterization of prayer. And that's in verse 18. And actually, Paul says six things there. Let me give you the outline. Paul says that we must pray in a sixfold way, and they unfold for us right there in verse 18. Number one, he says, I want you to learn how to pray constantly, praying always. I want you to pray constantly, praying always. Our tendency is to pray only in the great crises of life. Nobody prays more tenaciously than the man in the midst of crisis. Our tendency is to pray only in the midst of the great crises of life. But Paul says it is from consistent daily prayer that the Christian is enabled to find strength and even deliverance from many a crisis. We could avoid some of those crises if we prayed more. Paul says, I want you to be praying always, pray constantly. Secondly, he says, I want you to pray comprehensively. Praying always with all prayer. And he means by that that there's more than one kind of praying. There's a great deal more to prayer than asking and receiving. Biblical prayer involves adoration, that's worship. When we get on our knees before God, we ought to worship Him. And then there's not only adoration in prayer, there's benediction, that is praise. We ought to praise God for what He's doing in our lives. And then there's supplication, that is request or petition. And then there's intercession, there's looking out for the other man, interceding for him. And then there's appreciation, giving of thanks for all that God has brought down into our lives. Adoration, benediction, supplication, intercession, appreciation, praying with all prayer. Number three, we must pray spiritually. He says, I want you to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God who inhabits us and who ministers to us, the Scripture says. It is the Spirit who illuminates the human mind to understand the will of God. And it is the Holy Spirit who then motivates the human will to claim that into existence by faith. And then number four, he says, I want you to pray alertly. I want you to pray alertly, watching thereunto. And that's an interesting word. You know what watching means? It's composed of two Greek words, and it means to chase sleep. The Greek word for to chase, and the Greek word for sleep. And it means to chase sleep. We're to be watching. We're to be spiritually alert. We're to be constantly alert. We're to be putting to rout or routing spiritual stupor in our Christian experience. That Greek word expresses not mere wakefulness, not simply being awake. There are some people who are awake, they're not alert. I'm sure we're aware of that. It means a great deal more than wakefulness. It means watchfulness. It describes those who are intent upon something. There's a sense, metaphorically, in which we are to pray with our eyes open, metaphorically, alertly. We're to be alert both to our physical and our spiritual sense perceptors, so that we can detect Satan when he is beginning to do his work, and through prayer lay hold of our armor and God's power so that we can resist him. Paul says, I want you to pray constantly. I want you to pray comprehensively. I want you to pray spiritually. I want you to pray alertly. I want you to pray intensely. Do you notice? With all perseverance and supplication. With all perseverance and supplication. Paul says limp prayer never got a man anywhere. Prayer always demands, Paul says, the concentration of every faculty upon God. Paul's word perseverance describes continuing steadfastly in something. It means giving unremitting care to that something. Perseverance is not an attempt to twist the arm of God to conform to our will, but perseverance is very clearly a revelation of the depth of our burden and our concern over those issues for which we are praying. I wonder how we fit into this description. You know, this is a powerful analysis that Paul lays out in the circumference of one verse of prayer. And he just naturally assumes that God's people in the midst of this spiritual conflict will integrate this tremendous discipline of prayer into their lives. And in just the space of a few words, he gives us six powerful marks of biblical prayer. He says, I want you to pray constantly, comprehensively, spiritually, alertly, intensely, and finally says, I want you to pray unselfishly for all saints. I want you to pray for all the saints. In other words, I want you to be free of harboring the bitternesses and the unforgiving spirit and the gripes and the grudges which prohibit you from praying for certain of your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, when Jesus gave us a model prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer. Technically, I think it's the disciples' prayer. When Jesus gave us that model prayer, he initiated that model prayer, if you remember, not my Father, but our Father. And when he said that, he was saying, we who have been begotten again, we who have been born again. I hope you've been born again. I hope you've been born into God's family and you're a member of that family. He was saying that we who have been begotten again, we belong to a great spiritual family which has a common Father. And he says it follows, therefore, that when we come to the Father in prayer, we should remember not only our own needs, but also the needs of our brothers and sisters who are equally members of the family. Paul says that we should avoid praying too much for ourselves and too little for our brothers and our sisters. In a word, Paul is saying, we need to learn how to pray unselfishly. We need to pray for others, praying for all saints. You know, there's a very precious development of prayer in that verse, and there are a whole host of ideas that could be further mined out of those concepts. I wonder how many of God's people are building into their lives this discipline of biblical prayer. Sometimes we become so professional in our Christian experience, and we have all the answers, and we can cough them up on the appropriate occasions. But I wonder if we don't sometimes need to go right back to the basics. And one of those critical basics is integrating daily into our lives the discipline of prayer. Praying constantly, comprehensively, spiritually, alertly, intensely, and unselfishly. But as I close, let me just say this in verses 19 and 20. We're right down now here to the end of this section of Scripture. In verses 19 and 20, we have what we might call a specific invitation for prayer. We have a special characterization of prayer in verse 18, and the obligation of it is laid upon us as God's people, and it will animate us and give us a breath of heaven as we face the conflict daily against Satan. And then we have this specific invitation for prayer. Paul says, I want you to pray for me, verses 19 and 20. And there are a number of ideas that I won't have time to touch on in these two verses, but I wonder if I could just lift two out under this specific invitation for prayer. Number one, I see here Paul's petition. He requests something of the Ephesians. He wants them to pray for two specific things. And then the second thing I see here is Paul's position. He's an ambassador in bonds. He's an ambassador in bonds. And right to the very last, if it meant the extinguishing of his physical life, Paul was an ambassador. He never forgot his position. He never forgot his responsibility. And wherever he went, he was a witness for Jesus Christ. Even if he were bound in a Roman prison, he was still an ambassador. He was still the representative of heaven. And he used every context and every circumstance to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I see Paul's petition and I see Paul's position. You know, Paul was wise enough to recognize his need of strength and insight in the battle. And he was humble enough to ask his friends to pray for him that God would give those things to him. He was wise enough to recognize his need and humble enough to ask his friends to pray for him. Do you notice what Paul requests? Paul does not request freedom from confinement. I wonder how many of us would. Paul was in prison. He was chained to a Roman soldier daily, probably 24 hours a day. That's where he got the idea for this whole concept of spiritual armor. He was chained to a Roman soldier every day of his life while he was there in Rome. I wonder how many of us in that Roman prison would have said, "Pray for me that God will set me free." Paul does not pray for freedom from confinement. He is content wherever God has placed him. Paul is content whatever the circumstances. I think that's a dimension of life that we need to learn. Contentment. Contentment. Instead of grumbling and murmuring and complaining about the difficulties of the circumstances around us. Wherever Paul was, he was content, even if it means being in a Roman prison. All he wanted to be was the very best servant that he could be, no matter where he was. Didn't matter where God placed him, so long as he could be Christ's ambassador. That's all he wanted to be. He did not pray for freedom from confinement. You know what he prayed for? You know what he asked them to pray about? He wanted freedom from two things, confusion and cowardice. And so he says, pray number one that God will give me clarity, utterance. Do you see that phrase in verse 19? Utterance. Pray that I'll receive a God-given utterance. I believe he means by that word logos there in that particular occasion, in that context. I believe that he means there, I want clarity of speech. Pray that God will give me clarity when I proclaim the message of God's word in order that I might have freedom from confusion. Secondly, he prays that I might have courage. Not only clarity, but courage. He says, pray that God will give me not only utterance, but also boldness. Pray that God will give me utterance. You know, Paul was always aware of how critical the message of the gospel was. And he was anxious to obscure nothing by muddled speech. And so he asks the Ephesians to pray that God would give to him the gift of clarity in speech. Pray that God will give me utterance. He knew that the message of the gospel was an absolutely critical message. Apart from this message, no man can be saved. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The message about Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And no man can be saved apart from that message. Only in that message is the power of God released into a man's life when he hears it and he responds to it. Paul says, I don't ever want to confuse anybody. Pray that God will give me utterance. He'll give me clarity of thought. And then he says, pray that God will not only give me clarity so that I'll be free from confusion, but also pray that God will give me courage so that I'll be free from cowardice. Pray that God will make me bold.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.